Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call now. The number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or the full number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks. We do have some open lines, 844-322-2742. We'll be getting to calls much later in the program today. We're going to be following up on our conversation that we had yesterday. There's so much in the news and has been, I think, over the last 7 or 8 weeks about sexual immorality in the workplace, sexual harassment in the workplace. And one person after the next has been pushed out of their jobs because of sexual misconduct, the latest being Matt Lauer from NBC. And it wasn't just sexual activities that was consensual. This was something where a person is using their position of power to demand from somebody else something that they're not willing to give or don't want to give, but feel pressured to do so. So that's what we're talking about. That's what's been in the news. And yesterday we talked about that in length as to some of the causes. We looked at the unbelievable addiction to pornography that's this world is under right now. Yesterday we read the statistic that in 2016, just on one pornographic website alone, just one, over 4.5 billion hours were spent watching pornography on that site. That adds up to 500,000 years of pornography consumed in a 12-month period. That is just staggering, alarming. Yeah. It is just unbelievable that that much time is being invested in watching pornography. And then on top of that, $97 billion is being spent. It's like, oh my gosh, could world problems be solved just with that money alone? It's just incredible the amount of time and the amount of money people will spend on pornography.
Yeah.
And we wonder why our society is all messed up. We wonder why the world seems to be unraveling at a very rapid pace. Well, here's one of the reasons, folks. We are being dehumanized by our viewing, and then we're looking at one another through that same lens. And that's why we need to get back to truth. So this isn't just a world problem. Pornography is in the church. Like I said yesterday, the number of pastors that are stepping aside because of sexual misconduct, and most of it has started with pornography, is alarming. We see it with people within the pews. And this isn't just a male problem. This is male and female today. We are just being inundated by pornography. We see it on soft porn, quote, soft porn on television. And boy, all of the programs are pushing the limits. And then you have everything that's going on Netflix and all of those like Hulu and that sort of thing. They are pushing the envelope where just, you know, what they're saying as normal television is something we wouldn't have dreamed a million years ago that we would be watching in our homes. But it's there. It's there. So how do we as Christians handle it? How do we deal with this problem? And we cannot deal with it through rules and regulations. We cannot deal with it through human effort, through promises and those sort of things. None of those work. And that's what we want to talk about today. And so today we're going to spend a good portion of the broadcast in two passages, starting in Colossians chapter 2. We're going to skim through verses 16 all the way down through chapter 3, verse 7. And then we're going to scoot over to Romans chapter 13 and read the last section of that particular chapter. And we pray this is going to be a benefit to you. If you're struggling with pornography, if you're addicted to it, these passages will help you. Yeah. And I want you to listen very carefully. If you are being harassed in the workplace, I think these passages can give you some confidence and assurance that you're okay, that you're not the cause of those things, and will hopefully embolden you to stand up and say, enough is enough is enough.
Yeah.
So let's dive in. So Paul, in this letter to the Colossians, is dealing with quite a number of things, but he really wants to deliver them the purest understanding of Jesus Christ and to say to them that everything that you need, everything that you are longing for, everything that you are searching for is found in Christ. All of those desires of the flesh are merely perversions of what you really want in Christ. And Christ stands alone above anything and everything that the world has to offer. Now, one of the things that people were pushing in that day was a severe form of asceticism, just the beating of the body, the discipline, and all of those sort of things, legalism to the max, to the nth degree. And so he says, let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. So if we're going to see anything happen in us, any transformation, any growth down this path that God has laid out for us, God has to be the source of it. God has to author that. It is not going to come through asceticism. It is not going to come through puffed up knowledge. It's not going to come through the worship of angels or abiding by any festival or new moon celebration. And none of those will touch the heart, will make a difference in the heart. So God has to be the source of this growth. And we have been placed into a body. That's what happens when we believe. We are added to the body of Christ. Jesus Christ is the head. We are the members of the body. And for anything positive to flow through us individually or corporately as a group, we have to rely upon the head. We have to get every order, every source of strength, every piece of wisdom from Christ and from Christ alone.
Yeah.
So that's what Paul is getting at. He's holding up Christ and saying he is the preeminent one in all things, even in your life. Now he goes on in verse 20 and says, if with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Now, here's some good news. We died with Christ. We've been raised to walk in the newness of life. So we're a part of the kingdom. We're a part of the kingdom of God. So we have a whole new way of living. So if that's true, why are you going back to the elemental things of the world? It just doesn't make sense. Things like do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. And as I wrote in my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, do not handle, do not taste, do not touch does not work.
Yeah.
It will never work. It has an appearance of wisdom. But those things are according to precepts and human teachings. As Paul wrote in 23, these indeed have an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. So they do nothing to the indulgence of the flesh. They cannot mitigate the desires of the flesh. These rules and regulations cannot keep you from giving into the desires of the flesh. And as a matter of fact, they do the very opposite, don't they, Richard?
Yeah, they do. And what ends up happening is people build a facade. They build this fake persona that people see on the outside, which is outraged by evil and blessed by the good. And on the inside, where the real problem is, nothing has changed. And so they're living a double life. They're unstable in all their thinking. They shouldn't be surprised that the result of living by this kind of legalism is utter failure.
Yes. So legalism is not the answer. The rules and the regulations are not the answer. The do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, those things aren't going to work for you. As a matter of fact, they're going to frustrate you in the struggle to overcome those desires of the flesh, to say no to those desires. Will just weigh heavy on you, and you will give in time and time and time again. They have no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. So if legalism is not the way, what is the way?
The
answer, the solution, is found in this simple phrase, by grace through faith in Jesus. So Paul goes on to explain what that looks like, and we're going to jump into that right after this quick break. I want to remind you that you're listening to Basic Gospel. My name is Bob Christopher. Richard Pfeiffer is here, and we are so glad you have joined with us. And we really pray that the words in the book of Colossians and the book of Romans that we're going to be discussing today will be meaningful to you in your journey with Christ. If you're struggling with sexual immorality, and that's in the world, folks, it's going to hit us right in the face everywhere we turn. So there's not one single human being on the planet that's not going to have to deal with sexual immorality, with the temptation of it. So if you're struggling with that temptation, you're not sure how to overcome, I just encourage you to keep listening. To keep listening to what the Word of God is going to be saying to you today. I do want to remind you that Basic Gospel is listener-supported radio. We need the support and help of friends just like you to continue on the airwaves, to make a difference in the lives of people by connecting them to truth, truth that will set them free. If you would like to be a part of Basic Gospel Nation, if you would like to help support the proclamation of the good news, to invest in the power of the gospel to change lives, all the information on how you can do that is available at basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Go there right now, click the donate button, follow all the instructions, and we would love to have you a part of what we're doing. If you would rather use the phone, call 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. So back to what we're talking about. So if legalism isn't the way, if rules and regulations aren't the way that are going to stop the indulgence of the flesh, what is? Yeah. And that way is what we call here the way of grace. And Paul describes it for us in the first four verses of chapter 3. He says there, if then you have been raised with Christ. So this isn't a wondering or a doubt, a phrase of doubt. It's more or less Paul saying, since then, inasmuch as you have been raised with Christ. Now, you really ought to step back and let that soak in, to really let that go deep inside of you. You have been raised with Christ. What does that mean? That you have gained victory over sin and death because of the work of Jesus. You have been raised with Christ. What did Christ's resurrection prove to us? That he won the battle against sin and death. And now his victory has become your victory. Why? Because you have been raised with Christ Jesus. So if that's the case, since that is the case, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So we live in this world. The world is offering all sorts of things. It's dangling carrots out in front of us every single day. Those carrots are empty. They're hollow. They're deceptive. They bring nothing to the table except disappointment and frustration. So don't go there. Let your mind go to things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. He's your very life. He's the source of all good things that are going to come to you. So set your mind right there. It makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And especially if you're already a child of God, you've got the mind of Christ, the Holy Spirit living in you, suggesting this at all times. But notice how important this is for someone who is not a follower of Jesus and is trapped in one of these terrible places. You don't start by getting them untrapped. You start by taking them to Jesus so that they can be raised with him, and then this all changes because it changes from the inside out. Regardless of where you are, saved or not saved, it always starts and ends with Jesus.
Jesus, absolutely. And so he goes on to say, set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. And boy, that takes time, doesn't it?
Yeah.
We live in this world. There's lots of exciting-looking things that are in this world. But at the end of the day, they're all meaningless. What's meaningful is what you have in Jesus Christ, what comes from his hand to yours. So set your mind on those things and not the things of the earth. And here's the reason why. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So where is your life? It is hidden with Christ in God. Now, here's the good news. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. So here's the hope that you have in Jesus. So he goes on to say, therefore, put to death what is earthly in you. Now, we are housed in a body. This body is still subject to sin and death. This body still has sin living in it, and it has those old fleshly desires. So the things that you used to gratify before you came to Christ, those things are still active within these bodies of ours. So he's saying, put to death. Therefore, put to death what is earthly in you. Now, how do we do that? We can't do it by focusing on those things that are in us.
Correct.
We do it by setting our mind on things that are above. We do it by keeping our eyes on Jesus. That's how we put to death those things that are still in these earthly bodies of ours. Now, what are they? Sexual immorality. He starts right there.
Right there.
Sexual immorality. Impurity. Now, how do we put to death sexual immorality? Well, we talked about that a little bit yesterday, and it gets back to how we view people. Those who are addicted to pornography is going to lead them to a view of people that's a lie. So they're going to start seeing people as objects, as folks that are there to help gratify his or her desires, sexual desires. They're going to look at them as not even humans.
Yeah.
There's a very dehumanizing aspect about pornography and sexual immorality. We just objectify people. Well, that's a lie. That's the lie that pornography and sexual immorality is telling you. And if you buy into it, you're going to start treating people just as objects.
Yeah.
They're just there to help you gratify the desires of your flesh.
Toys to be used and thrown away.
That's exactly right. So when you start to see things as God sees things, when you set your mind on things above, then you begin to see people from God's vantage point. No longer objects, but real human beings for whom Christ died. So each human human being that you encounter in your life. It doesn't matter what their socioeconomic status is. It doesn't matter the skin color. None of that matters. That human being has infinite worth, infinite value, because the gospel declares it so. Christ's death, Christ's burial, Christ's resurrection proves that that person has infinite worth. And so when you begin to set your mind on things above, then that's the truth that starts to circulate in these minds about other human beings. And so as you begin to see them for who they are, and that begins to reshape your thinking, then your actions are going to follow suit.
Yes.
When you realize that that person over there may be a sister in Christ, may be somebody, is somebody that Christ died for, oh, it changes,
everything.
Everything. Yeah. Absolutely everything. So in that truth, in that knowledge, you find that you're putting to death those earthly things that are in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. And it's on account of these that the wrath of God is coming. That's the lost world. You've been set apart from the lost world. Start letting your mind be renewed so that your actions can reflect who you really are. Yeah. In Christ Jesus. In these two, you once walked when you were living in them, but now you have been raised to walk in the newness of life. That's what this passage is all about. Yes. So the solution, the answer, the ability to say no to sin is in the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to quickly go over to Romans 12. Or 13, it says, owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. So what does God desire to flow out of each and every one of us?
Love.
Love. Well, if you're engaged in sexual immorality, you're engaged in activities that are bringing harm, and love does no harm to a fellow human being.
And don't buy the lie of who people, how people change the language.
Right.
It's not making love. It's using someone.
That's exactly right.
It's not the agape love of Jesus flowing through you.
No, absolutely not. Eros is not agape.
Correct.
In any way, shape, or form. So God's desire is for us to love one another, and we do that when we abide in the one who is love and allow the truth of who he is and how he sees people to start controlling and reshaping. Yes. These minds of ours. So therefore, it says in verse 13, let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus, and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. We Christians have problems with that right there.
Yeah.
We stay close to the fire, and then we wonder why we get burned. We keep one foot in the world and one foot over here, and we wonder why we keep giving in to the desires of the flesh. Folks, there's no greater adventure in life than abiding in the vine of Christ and allowing him to love others through you. Stay right there. Don't provide an opportunity for the flesh to gratify its desires. And boy, life will be smooth, and one, it won't be without problems or trials and tribulations, but you know that God will be using you to love others through you. And that's good news.
That is.
Well, I hope this has been helpful to you. We're out of time on today's broadcast. We'll be back on Monday with another live edition. So for Richard Pfeiffer, Bob Davis, and all the gang here at Basic Gospel, have a great weekend in the Lord Jesus. We'll see you on Monday.